Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. And as you know, this is one of my favorite times of the week to be here connecting with you and you connecting with us. And guess who's here with me tonight?
Hi, Carolyn. This is Richard. Hi, everyone.
Just love it. We're all here together. And if you got my newsletter that Richard and I send out, you would note that today we are having a very special guest. Richard, who are we having tonight?
A gentleman called Martin Luther King, which should be quite special. And I just hope we don't have a visit from a not-so-pleasant lady called Irene.
Well, you know that song, Goodbye, Irene.
Yes, may she leave us alone.
Indeed. And just to review a little something, the listeners in our audience have sent us requests to have certain individuals come on the show. And so we have a list of those. And if things cross your mind where there's someone that you wish to speak to, send Richard an email and we'll add it to the list. And so we go over the list. And what happens is I feel this presence when we discuss the names, and then I ask them if they want to be on the show, if that's why they have come into my awareness, and they say yes. And usually they come because they have a particular message. And for those of you who are familiar with Martin Luther King's work, it's really interesting in the sense that last week Mr. Gandhi was the guest, and this week it is Martin Luther King, and both of them were noted as individuals who brought change, and they did it in a peaceful, nonviolent manner. And I did think it was interesting that these two, you might say, have come forth back to back with a message, especially for our time frame, so to speak, where we are living now, and the environment that, and the cross, you might say, cross energies that have come to the planet for many reasons, and it's causing confusion. And here are two beautiful beings who have come forth to give their perspective of our times, and that is exactly why Mr. King is here. And so what I would like for Richard to do, if you'd be kind enough, to tune in to Mr. King and explain to those in the audience what his energy feels like, and what I might suggest to those who hear this, and I've done this in the past, see a picture of Mr. King in your third eye, and when you hear Richard describe the energies of his vibration, perhaps you might feel it also, that you can draw in your sense of awareness with your sense of awareness, and it would be a wonderful thing. So, Richard, if you'd be kind enough to call Reverend King and explain to the audience what his energy is like, the energy of this gentle man.
Yes, and he has been with me since we started this call. And his energy is somewhat similar, somewhat similar to that of Gandhi, in the sense there is this clarity of the energy, there is a purity to the energy, and there is, in the case of Martin Luther King, this more centrally focused energy. And it's an energy which, for me, fits with the passionate speaker that he was, the powerful public speaker. I can feel how this energy would fit in with that persona, if you will, that positioning. So there is this clarity and, as I said, almost singularity, quite strong, pure energy, and very directed is how I describe it. There is more of a sense of action, if you will, than there was with Gandhi. And in a sense, it fits with their difference in style. So again, just a beautiful, beautiful energy that he is sending forth to me.
That's wonderful. I can feel his power also. Very powerful.
Indeed.
Yeah. And so I know he has a message for us. Matter of fact, I feel very close to the passion of what he felt for humanity and how he wanted to bring in this beautiful change and add to the freedom for all people. And so he has a message. He had a very strong sense of purpose that he wished to inform the people about certain ideals and goals. And so, Richard, if you'd be kind enough to bring forth his message, this would be of a great assistance to everyone, I suspect.
Let us see what he has to say. And he's here, and he is saying, "My dear friends, I welcome this opportunity to speak with you in this manner. It is not an opportunity that I have had since I passed in those difficult circumstances. And just as the world has moved on since then, so too have I, and have had the opportunity in this context to reflect on my life and the things that I sought to change and indeed what I stood for. And I will say to you that I am proud of the stand that I took. And many have seen me, and perhaps history has judged me as the champion of the black people of America. And in one sense, that is true, because they were at that time suffering a great deal of persecution, a great deal of inequity in their experience of life. And whilst that does continue today in many ways, it has shifted a great distance from that time. However, what I wanted to say to you tonight in particular was that although many saw me as championing the rights, the situation of the black people of America, indeed my message was much more universal. And if you examine the speeches that I gave, you will see that these messages were universal in their nature. And I see a great connection between the stand that I was taking, which the context, as you recognize, was the black people of America. But indeed, if you look at life as it is for almost everyone on the planet, there is a similar suppression, a similar disenfranchisement, which is occurring for virtually everyone on the planet. It is not visible to many. Many do not understand the way that life is controlled by the few, the way that the experience of life as it is lived upon your planet is so deeply manipulated, so deeply distorted by those who would control everyone and everything for their own benefit. And you are living in a time when the understanding of this disenfranchisement will come to the awareness of everyone on the planet, and those who choose that path will be liberated from it. And so I see, as I said, a great parallel between the time when I was speaking on behalf of the blacks primarily of America and where all of humanity for the most part is placed. There were in that time so many hidden controls. Yes, there were very visible ways that the blacks were disenfranchised, but there were many mechanisms built into the way that the social system worked. Some of them were obvious, some of them not at all obvious in terms of how the blacks were disenfranchised at that time. However, in this time that you live in, the mechanisms of that disenfranchisement are for the most part hidden. Humanity in general does not understand how the few control the many, how they control every aspect of the political system upon your planet, how they control the financial system, how the wars that have occurred in your world over the last few centuries have all been orchestrated by those who wish to profit from the process. How they have stood behind all of the major catastrophic changes, in a sense, that have occurred upon the planet. And so this understanding will begin to come forth over the next few months, and it will be very much in people's awareness as you approach that appointment with destiny, you might call it, that December 2012 solstice, which really is not far in front of you at this time. You are already beginning to see the chaos that is emerging in so many aspects of your reality, and this will intensify as these changes become possible, as the energies on the planet accelerate into this state of chaos, this state of change. And you might say that this hurricane, which has the potential to disrupt this radio show tonight, is an example of the impact of this chaos. This hurricane was intended to awaken some of those along the east coast of America, to have them, you might say, shaken from their lethargy, to have some of them at least begin to question the nature of their reality, the nature of the comfort with which they view life. And in many ways, this is a very mild shaking up. There will be many more as the financial system begins to struggle and fail, and as the planet begins to shake rather more actively than it currently has. And so there will be a great deal of disruption in your world as you go forward. And so my message in part is one of hope and understanding, because it's time that you all understood the way life is so deeply manipulated upon your planet, how the religious system is one of great abuse, the distortion of the teachings of those great spiritual beings upon whose lives and teachings they are based, the way the education system is so deeply focused upon what you might term left-brained rote learning, which does little, for the most part, to cultivate the thinking and the creativity of humanity. Quite the opposite. Its focus is very different from that. And so I mention these things to you because, as I do so, you may begin to reflect upon how deeply manipulated your reality is. You may begin to reflect upon it and recognize the necessity for this to change. And so I mention this because you can begin to see, as I was pointing out to you, the parallels between my message on behalf of the black people of America in my time and what is occurring in your time. And the messages, the words that I spoke then, are just as applicable to all of humanity today. And indeed, they were applicable to all of humanity in that time. It is just that they were delivered within the context of that racial discrimination. And so this is the essence of my message to you tonight.
Thank you, Reverend King. And you have brought up some points that certainly we have questions about and want your perspective on it. And let's see where we could start. First of all, one of the things that struck me was your discussing what is upon our future with the year 2012. And if you could elaborate on that a little bit, I would like your perspective as to what you see happening during that time. You know, you're looking at this from the other side, and I'm sure you have opinions and thoughts. We would like for you to share with us if you would.
Yes, in many ways, my perspective is no different from the perspective of others who have come forth upon your radio show to comment upon this, not only those who have been directly incarnated upon your planet and have moved on, but indeed that one that you refer to is Jason, the crop circle maker, who came forth about a year ago on your show and gave a perspective on this. And so I will simply summarize that perspective, and that is that there is a great spiritual transition which will occur for humanity and for planet Earth, beginning with that December 2012 solstice, where great energies will come forth primarily through galactic center, and they will drive a transformation upon the planet. Part of the mechanism for setting this up will be that the solar wind will stop for 3 days, and indeed this has already happened for 2 days a few years ago, as recorded by NASA. This information is well documented. The scientists do not understand what happened. They did not know that the solar wind could stop, and it stopped for 3 days to imprint humanity and the planet with energies to begin this transformation in earnest, to begin the preparation in earnest. And so it will be repeated at that time, and these energies will trigger change within every particle of matter upon the planet. And it will not only impact Earth and all upon it, but indeed all of the planets in the solar system in their own way. Each of them will be impacted to their needs and to their requirements. And this will begin in earnest, the transition, the transformation that will occur upon this planet. A great deal of work has been undertaken by, again, those individuals that I spoke of who seek to control humanity, to bury the truth of the much higher level of civilization, of ability, particularly spiritual, but also technical ability in many ways, that existed upon your planet within that society, within that time known as Atlantis. And due to the interference of those ones that you call the dark, there was a great fall in consciousness for humanity and indeed for the planet. And the vibration fell to a very low level. And so these energies that will come forth will be the beginning of not only a return to the levels of spiritual ability and indeed ability to create that existed within Atlantis, but indeed humanity will move beyond those levels. And so the energies that come in at that time will be energies of extraordinary transformation. And I will say that those that control so much of what happens upon your planet have indeed worked very hard to bury what is unfolding at that time. And that is part of why they buried Atlantis, because in doing so, they have persuaded humanity, for the most part, that you live in a time of the greatest development of humanity that has ever existed, the greatest technical skills and abilities, the greatest standard of living, and so on. And in truth, this is not so. And if humanity in general were aware of this, and indeed there is great evidence of these abilities that existed in the past that have been left quite intentionally for humanity to examine and to question, should humanity in general understand and be aware of the existence of these things, such as the great walls, for example, which exist in Central and South America, which are built with stones of hundreds of tons, in some cases, in weight, that even today humanity struggles with the technology to handle and certainly lacks the ability to put them together like a jigsaw puzzle with no mortar and no gaps between those massive stones even today. And similarly, the extraordinary wonder of the pyramids, if humanity truly understood, reflected upon the truth of what they represent, how they were created, and stepped away from this nonsense that is fed to humanity about them being tombs for the pharaohs, which they never were, and understood their purpose and what they are capable of even still, then the questions would be beginning to be asked, or would have been asked for some time, as to what does all this mean for humanity. And so a great attempt has been made to disconnect humanity from what is about to unfold with the hope that humanity in general will not prepare, will not understand in time. But let me tell you, my friends, you will. All will come forth as it has been long planned. Indeed, this moment that is about to be upon you was planned even before the planet Earth was created. So make no mistake, there will be no slip-ups of any consequence that will interfere with this unfolding, this ending of this cycle. So this, in summary, is what I see unfolding.
Well, we appreciate your opinion and what you see from where you are, and we thank you for that. Something else that you mentioned in your message is how things are being manipulated here, and there are a few here on Earth who are speaking out against this, trying to awaken humanity to this concept of domination and control on so many areas, the political area, the governmental area, churches and so forth. Can you give me some thoughts as to what people can do about this? In other words, if someone is realizing that these things exist, what, from your perspective, what do you suggest that they might do?
The key step for every individual is to begin to reclaim their own personal power. I am drawn to the words shared with you by Gandhi last week, where he expressed this perhaps better than I could. And so I refer you to that recording, which is available on the website of these two. But I will summarize quickly, and that is to reclaim your personal power. Reclaim your power. Begin to question. Don't take for granted. Don't accept words because they are written or because they are recorded, because someone else has spoken them, does not make them true, not on any level. You need to take your own counsel, to form your own perspective, to do your own research, in a sense, if something seems unclear. The internet is an extraordinary tool today where you can find the information that you need to develop an understanding and to read the books that bring different perspectives and understandings, the background to some of these things. So many people, for example, simply accept the Bible as being the Word of God because that is what they have been told. So if you truly look at the history of that document, how it arose, what was excluded and why, and begin to truly examine that history and understand how it is, like so many other things, you might call a political document which has a particular perspective. It is a very patriarchal document, for example. It, for the most part, does not acknowledge the role of the feminine. And I will not go further than that. That is enough. But there are many, many other levels in which this is a document that does not truly reflect what it claims to reflect. And so I encourage all of you to begin to go within, to begin to heal yourselves in this lifetime, to do the hard work that that takes, to heal your child selves, to begin to reconnect with your love for yourselves. It is through these steps that you begin to reclaim your power and to find your own sense of truth. Most people are not in a position to influence the political processes within, for example, the United States. And to endeavor to do so, for the most part, is not productive because there are far more powerful forces at work which will shake these things into a form where they support humanity. And so the step I encourage every individual to take is to begin to reclaim the truth of themselves for themselves. And it is not about simply listening, as I said, to so many messages put forth upon the internet about what is unfolding and so on and so on and so on. Messages that feel good are not necessarily truth. Indeed, they are very often quite the opposite. They are packaged to feel good, to sell a hidden untruth. And most of humanity has not yet taken that stand for themselves to begin to reclaim their power, their individual right, and to recognize, as Mr. Gandhi so powerfully said, the only thing you truly have power over is yourself.
Such a beautiful and thought-provoking message. Thank you. We have so many questions personally, but we'd like to bring on some people who have questions in the audience. And on line one, Paolo from London has a question for you. Paolo.
Hi, Carolyn.
Welcome.
Thank you for this, and I do have a question for Mr. King, and it's actually quite a personal one regarding the ascension at the end of 2012. And I just wanted to know. Well, basically, I've been doing a lot of things to try and raise my vibrational rate so that my consciousness will survive the end of 2012. And I just wanted to know, as things stand with myself, Would my body be able to survive the increase in consciousness at the end of 2012? And if not, at this current time, what things should I be doing to raise my consciousness so that when it does come to ascension, that I will be able to ascend?
Well, thank you, Paolo. This is a question I think also has a universal aspect to it. And so if Richard, if you'd be kind enough, did you hear the question? Good.
As Carolyn said, this is a question of universal concern for those who have awareness of what is unfolding. And again, if you look on the internet, there are perhaps 1,000 views or more as to what is necessary to prepare or what is not necessary to prepare. And I will simply say to you that there is a process that was defined as part of the planning for all of this, and it is the the process that is on the website of these two at the 2012countdown.com website, on that page called Are You Ready? And you will see three steps. And the three steps are acknowledge your creator, clear your negative karmic past, and rejuvenate your physical body. Now that might sound a tall order in some sense, but as events unfold, you will see that that is relatively easy. And indeed, the truth of the process is that if you choose your relationship with your Creator in some form, the rest will be addressed before that December 2012 solstice. And so I acknowledge and applaud your efforts to prepare. And I encourage you to inform yourself through that website page as to exactly what is required, because it really is that simple. And those two last steps for many people will be taken care of through the rejuvenation workshops, which will in time come forth across the planet. And in attending one of those workshops, you will be able to complete that preparation process. So this is the mechanism. And let me be very simple about this. Nothing less than this is required, and nothing more than this is required.
Thank you. Yes, Paolo?
I'm not sure if this is possible. Can I ask one more question?
Certainly.
Or is that not possible? Sure. It's another personal one. Would it be possible if Mr. King would be able to tell me what my previous life was?
I'm not understanding what you're asking. Can you repeat that?
Sure. Could I ask Mr. King to tell me what my previous lifetime was?
I don't know that that's something that we want to get into right now, but what your previous lifetime was, what was Reverend King's thoughts on this, Richard?
It is not the time and place to enter into that kind of question. Firstly, it is a question that does not have a simple answer, because you, Paolo, as almost everyone on the planet, has had many hundreds of lifetimes on the planet. And so it is not a question that truly has meaning. And if you wish to understand what has been an important lifetime that impinges upon this current lifetime, then there is a process by which you can do that, by working with Carolyn, and you will see that on the website that I mentioned, the page which talks about understanding a past life. So that may be an option for you, but this is not territory I wish to cover in this call.
Thank you, Paolo.
Thank you very much, Dr. King. I'll go now. Thanks a lot for that.
And Helen from San Francisco is online too. Helen, welcome.
Yes, thank you, Carolyn. It's another great show. Well, the funny thing I want to tell you is, first of all, my husband and I went to Shasta Trinity and the mountain for vacation last week. But I was talking to him about individual empowerment. And without hearing Gandhi's show last week. So my point is, I really feel the universal energy is really stepping into like people's daily life, and your daily consciousness, you're really open to it. So I've seen the research email saying the recording is available from Gandhi last week. So I was so looking forward. I will be listening to them tonight. And in terms of today's show, I have two questions. And first of all, I want to verify a statement that I heard before. I want to see whether it is true. I've learned from different sources that Reverend King is also the reincarnation of Chinese, of the original found, the founder of Chinese Zen Buddhist, the sixth patriarch called Grand, his name is Grand Master Hui Neng. Is that true?
I think it's an excellent question. Richard, did you hear that?
Yes, I did. Let me see what he has to say. He is saying, I am indeed the reincarnation of this one.
My goodness. This is wonderful. And it's so valuable to hear that. And verification, thank you. You're great. The second question is, I'm very drawn to Buddha and Buddhist, And is it possible for Reverend King to tell me, was I ever related to his lifetime? Or did I ever, how do I relate it to Buddha or Buddhist? If it's too general.
Yeah, we'll see what he says about that. Richard, did you hear the question?
Yes.
Okay.
You have spent several lifetimes walking the Buddhist path. And it is this memory that draws you to that path today. There are many great truths contained within that path, but there are also some distortions which are part of that path, just as there has been with all religions, because the way that they are practiced do not in truth reflect the fundamental teachings of those upon whose lives they are based. And so, as I said, your connection is that you have walked that path many times in the past, and this is what draws you in this lifetime. Great.
Well, got your questions answered, Helen.
Yes, totally got my question answered. We just got back 4 o'clock this afternoon, and I'm so glad to be able to hear this. And I know this hour is precious, so I will let other listeners to ask questions. And I thank you, Carolyn and Richard, so very much.
Thank you for your questions,
you
Helen.
And your work. Thank you.
So I have a question for Dr. King. During that time, that you lived, and especially at the very end of it, there was so much violence. So many, you know, 3 assassinations, 2 with the Kennedys, 1 with you, and there was such grieving across the country. And it was such a knife wound on the psyche of everyone, I would suspect, who lived in the United States at that time, and perhaps even in other countries. There was something so tragic about that, but yet it seemed like there was some connection between these 3 events. And I'm sure that you have looked at this since you've moved on. Can you give us some perspective of what that connection was, and any other thoughts you might give on that particular question?
Your question pertains to some comments I made earlier, and that is that there are those that control so much of how life unfolds upon your planet. And when there are individuals who are in positions of power who are not responding to the direction of those that control the game, who refuse to abide by the rules, you might say, these individuals are not given the opportunity to continue with their missions. And so in all 3 cases, even though there were seemingly surface explanations for these events, they were all triggered by those who control the unfolding of life for most of humanity. And this is something that I did not truly understand when I was incarnated, but I, as you suggested, have had the opportunity to reflect upon this, and it is one of the reasons that I chose to come forth tonight to bring forth the understanding that I did and why I used the words that I did about these elements of control, because that is the common thread behind all of these. And on a level, I see that my death in a manner helped to galvanize some of the forces that were driving change for the black people of America. And so in a perverse way, I see that my passing assisted the bringing forth of some of that change. So life can head in directions that at times you do not expect.
Thank you. I'm not asking you to identify any of the powers or individuals, but is it fair to say that the same group or the same individuals was behind each one of these situations?
It is essentially the same group that controls the unfolding of events upon your planet. Yes, there are factions, you might say, within that power group, but ultimately it was the same group that was responsible for all three deaths.
Mm-hmm. What are your plans, if any, to come back to Earth and pick up the mantle of leadership again? Is that in your near future?
I have been working very hard on this side to ensure that all that has been planned unfolds as it was planned, because as you understand it, I have been an agent of change for the betterment of humanity over a number of my lifetimes. And so I, in a sense, continue that mission of my soul. I feel that that is the most important way that I can serve, at least up until the ascension process is complete. And beyond that, it is likely that I will return to the planet to enjoy this exquisite environment that will exist for planet Earth and for all upon it beyond that ascension moment, so that this joyful experience of having the great spiritual powers and also the marriage of those spiritual powers to the physical body, which humanity for the most part today does not understand or appreciate, firstly, what it is capable of today, but in particular, what it will be possible to achieve with that combination beyond ascension. It is an exquisite experience that awaits all of humanity, and so I wish to come forth to participate in that once it is in place. I may or may not choose a leadership role. It has been my path in the past to do so, but the importance of leadership in that way will be far less in that new consciousness. And so that choice I have yet to make.
I appreciate you coming forth and talking about that. Because so little has been discussed with people from the religious aspect, in other words, the churches, they really don't, or dogma, they don't have this part of the puzzle, so to speak. Can you give us some idea on two things. When someone crosses over, what that is like, and then when they plan to come back into a new incarnation, what that might be like.
It is an it is an experience that is difficult for most of humanity today to understand, because as you come forth into that consciousness, you leave your memories and, for the most part, your skills and abilities behind. And so it is not surprising that most of humanity has accepted this perspective that there is no reincarnation, or that the soul is the key driver within the life experience of a human being, and that that soul continues on beyond the moment of what you call death. And there have been a number of individuals who chose the path of near-death experience to open that door for themselves, and as a result for those of humanity who are willing to examine their experiences. And so I will say that this transition is a relatively straightforward one. As you might imagine, it is a process that is a well-trodden path. And for the individual who does not understand it, who is approaching death, there is very often a great deal of fear about it. But there is no need for fear, because it is simply a transition in consciousness, you might say. And I will say to you that one of the things that will flow from the ascension process is that that lack of understanding will disappear, and indeed the essentially involuntary process, or what seems to be an involuntary process by which people age and die today, will simply disappear. If you choose to leave the physical body, it will be a matter of choice, not something which time, if you will, has imposed upon you. And so once you go through that transition, there is a sense of relief, in a sense, because the presence of the soul in that consciousness is a very challenging one. And so it is a moment, once the transition is complete for most souls, of a sense of release and of joy and of realization that so much of what had been shut down is now being reawakened. The understanding of time as it is for most beings in creation, where past, present, and future all exist as one, that returns. The awareness of other beings throughout the cosmos returns. And so there is this moment of release and relief almost as this unfolds. Following this, there are those beings that come forth to escort a soul that has transitioned, because it is a period of disorientation. And so you might say they take you by the hand and guide you through that process, and to then guide you through the process of review of your life. Because truly, the one that reviews your life is you, the one who decides how successful, whatever that might mean, your life has been, whether you have achieved your mission as you saw it, the areas where you would have preferred to have chosen differently, and so on. All of this you assess for a period of time, and it depends on the individual, the nature and extent of that review. And so that, in a sense, is the process of transition. And once that is complete, then Most souls choose to rest for a period before they begin to examine other possibilities and opportunities, to begin to study and to learn, because there is so much that one can learn on this side from so many sources, so much choice, so much freedom. And when a soul is considering the possibility of reincarnation, then there is a time when that the monad, particularly the totality of the soul, considers the options, the paths that might be walked. And then when a path is chosen, that is then reviewed with a group of very wise souls who form what you might call a panel or a board, which assist you in reviewing those choices before you come forth. And as life currently exists, most souls have a choice of three sets of parents, if you will, through whom they may choose to come forth. And so there is this choice of path, which those who have incarnated do not understand for the most part. And so there is that choosing of mission and choosing of the unfolding of that mission and how best to serve what you wish to achieve. And for many of you, it is hard to imagine that you might choose a path where you choose difficult, indeed at times abusive, parents to serve your mission. It is hard to imagine why you might do that. But if you understand the nature of the commitments that you make and the choices that you make, given the nature of that consciousness, it can begin to make sense as you view it from this side. And so I trust this gives you some sense of what is involved with these two transitions.
Well, it truly does, and I thank you so much that it would be a big help to people to contemplate this, especially people who maybe have relatives that are ill and who are in the process of passing over. This is of great help to them because I think it helps to relieve them emotionally and helps them to prepare those that they love for the next great adventure that they are facing. I would like to tell our audience that we have only 5 minutes left, and it's very difficult to take another question, and I am sorry for that, because we do have people on the line wanting to ask Reverend King more questions, because he has been so thorough and have given such marvelous answers. And so I'd like to thank Reverend King in a very special way, because personally myself, I had more questions too. And I'd like to thank him for being such a marvelous guest and giving such in-depth answers to our questions.
And he wishes to respond. I wish to thank you for the opportunity to come forth and to share these thoughts and understandings with not only your audience tonight, but those who will listen to the recording, not just in the short term, but indeed in the longer term as events begin to unfold and more people begin to understand what is happening, because I know that these recordings will be sought out and people will get understandings from these recordings. And so I appreciate the opportunity to be able to come forth in this way and to contribute to humanity once more. And so it is.
Thank you, and our blessings to you. Richard, we have 3 minutes, not much time. Mm-hmm. But in the 3 minutes, would you give our friends an idea of what's on the drawing board, what's coming forth next, because we have a lot of stuff coming forth.
We do. We do. Well, next week I think is going to be a big week in that front, because I expect that we will launch the newsletter from Yeshua, which is called Yeshua Then and Now, in which Yeshua answers the questions that have been coming forth from listeners and readers. And the process by which that's happening is we received a lot of questions in response to the email that I sent out, and we'd already received some before that. And so Carolyn receives those questions, actually, and she reviews them with Yeshua, who decides what questions should be answered in a particular newsletter. And so we finalized the first of those and have finalized the content of the second and just getting it all sorted out. And so we are ready to, if you will, push that off the cliff perhaps early next week. And so the information that's coming forth in those newsletters is quite extraordinary, because not only has Yeshua answered the questions, but Carolyn has done, in her way, a lot of research work around some of the more controversial questions. For example, the color of Yeshua's eyes. We get lots of people telling us, hang on a minute, his eyes are brown, not blue. And that is not the truth of the matter. His eyes were blue, and there is a reason for it. And so he explains that, and also Carolyn does a great deal of research to demonstrate the basis behind all of this. So this information will be quite extraordinary. Some of the questions are amazing, and some of the content that comes forth is very, very special. So, as I said, we'll probably push that off the cliff, and I'm sure it will fly.
Indeed. 1 minute, we're right up at the wall, so to speak.
Well, there you go.
There you go. I want to thank you for your service, what you give to humanity, and what you do for this show is quite remarkable. We couldn't do it without you. And I'd like to thank our listeners.
I would say the same to you. I mean, this show would not exist without the beautiful work that you do.
Thank you. So, hand in hand, the two of us say to all of our listeners, good night for now. See you next week, and looking forward to it.
Indeed. Good night for now.